I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Funny, but it seems I always wind up here with you.
This is John Perry of The Only Ones, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
These few dollars you lose here today, they're going to buy you stories to tell your children, your great-grandchildren.
We're in the money.
This is Cheryl Kay, host of The Jazz Disturbance and Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The WGXC 90.7 FM 10 Years of Radio for Open Ears Pledge Drive is scheduled for Sunday, October 17th through Sunday, October 31st. And thanks to good people like yourselves, we're still here. WGXC is ever so close to securing sustained monthly funding. That's $5,000 a month. That'll eliminate pledge drives like these. As much fun as they tend to be. So while you're here, donate. WGXC.org/donate. And remember, there is never a bad time and it is never too early to support community radio. WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. WGXC.org/donate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com. or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joan E. Hunt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. On Wednesday, September 29th, Greene County Health Department officials posted online about COVID-19. And I quote, "Unfortunately, we have lost another member of the community, and we extend our condolences to their loved ones," end quote. Then they announced 27 more coronavirus cases on September 30th and 15 more on October 1st. For the past month, coronavirus numbers in Greene County have been similar to February this past year, when few vaccine shots were available and officials have not changed any policies or taken any measures to change the trajectory. Columbia County reports a similar state, with 14 new cases announced on both October 1st and 2nd. Meanwhile, in Ulster County, several hundred people got COVID-19 booster shots October 1st at the former Best Buy store in the Hudson Valley Mall. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan said between 10,000 and 20,000 Ulster County residents currently meet the eligibility requirement for the booster, but would not reveal how many got the Pfizer vaccine shot October 1st. To get the booster shot, one must be 65 or older, over 18 with an underlying medical condition that increases the risk of severe illness, at a high risk of exposure to COVID through their employment or living in a long-term care facility. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, October 1st, said he is against mandating COVID-19 vaccinations for school-age children. Zeldin is the top Republican seeking the GOP nomination for governor of New York. He said, and I quote, Considering the science and data, vaccines widely available for educators and other staff, treatment and testing options continuing to get even better, and other mitigation measures still in effect, New York State should absolutely not require the COVID vaccine for New York school children, end quote. Children under the age of 12 are yet to qualify for the vaccine, but approval could be granted in the coming weeks. Governor Kathy Hochul's administration is encouraging vaccinations for young students in New York through pop-up sites in areas that have low rates of vaccinations. Students in New York are already required to have multiple vaccinations at various ages before attending school. Read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. Amanda Burke is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that a Pittsfield man accused of taking part in the January 6 U.S. Capitol riot wants his case dismissed on the grounds that the government's case lacks facts. Lawyers for Troy E. Sargent, September 30th, filed motions requesting the court dismiss the six counts filed against their client by the federal government. Defense attorneys Joshua Hain and Wade Zielinski argue the federal indictment charging Sargent is invalid, alleging prosecutors failed to detail how he may have violated the law. In violation of the Constitution and the rules of criminal procedure, according to documents filed in U.S. District Court in Washington. The lawyers wrote, and I quote, "The indictment makes no factual allegations except to specify the date and location," end quote, and therefore fatal to the government's case. Sargent has been charged with forcibly assaulting, resisting, opposing, and impeding federal officers, as well as obstructing law enforcement during civil disorder and willfully and knowingly engaging in physical violence on Capitol grounds. Sargent has pleaded not guilty to all charges. The case against Sargent was built around his own social media accounts and police video. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A couple of hundred people turned out in Hudson October 2nd for a rally to support of women's reproductive rights. Speakers spoke out against recent legislation in Texas that significantly limits a woman's right to choose and called for voters to advocate, speak out, and vote for candidates that support abortion rights. During the rally held in Hudson's public square, the Reverend Kim Singletary urged the crowd to advocate for reproductive justice. Singletary said, and I quote, "America, we can't go back. We won't go back," end quote. She called for broader shifts in society that she said would do more to limit the number of abortions performed in the U.S. State Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett noted the battle for abortion rights has been ongoing for decades. Barrett said, and I quote, "This is an issue that never goes away. 40 years ago, we were fighting similar battles. Choice was on the ascent. Now it's on the descent. And now here we are, 40 years later, fighting the same battle, but with fewer allies, and this is totally unacceptable," end quote. Supporters in the crowd carried signs reading, "Protect Roe v. Wade, 1973, Protect Women's Health, Defund Texas Republicans, Someone You Love May Need a Choice, and My Body, My Choice, My Freedom, My Voice." The Women's March is a woman-led national movement. Similar demonstrations were held nationwide on Saturday and locally in Woodstock, Kingston, and Albany. An editor's note, the Reverend Kim Singletary is a WGXC volunteer programmer, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, October 4th. We are 75.8% of the way through the year. We got 78 days left until winter. And today we will see a small break in the rain this morning as different fronts move through the area. A high of 62 is expected around noon, and around that time a cold front will move through, dropping more rain. Overnight, the rain will continue as temperatures drop to 54 degrees. Tuesday, we could have some lingering rain, and a high of 63 is expected at 2 p.m. Tuesday night will be in the mid-50s. Wednesday will be dry with a high of 67, and Thursday also looks dry with a high of 74. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:40 a.m., low tide at 8:30 a.m., high tide again at 2:17 p.m., and low tide again at 8:40 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 64 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:20 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:51 a.m. All of those times and conditions are only for Greene and Columbia County. Looking way up, we see a pretty quiet planetary neighborhood. Solar wind speed is currently 348 kilometers per second at 2.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 38. And this is Matt and the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Especially for ducks. Ducks love it. Fish too. It is rainy out there, wet on this October 4th. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. This is Kieran here with you once again every Monday 4 to 6 p.m. Throwing out the phone number right off the bat, why don't we? 413-274-5096. We got a lot of music lined up for you. We're taking requests again today. But first and foremost, here we have in the Acres studio, Devin Connolly, once again from Cornell Cooperative Extension. We're doing an update. Devin, can you hear me? How are you?
Hi. Hello, Kieran.
You can hear me. I know you can hear me. So we're working out. Sorry. We got Cornell Cooperative.
Can you hear me, Kieran?
Absolutely. There you are, Devin. How's it going?
You can't hear?
No.
Oh,
his name turned down. All right. Now I can hear you, Kieran.
We are making that work. We also have calling in from Cornell Cooperative Extension, Pammy Price. And I just can't express my gratitude to you folks for all the good work that you do over there and sharing with us here on the Monday afternoon show. All the events and cool things happening. How are we doing on the audio, Devin?
I can hear you really well now. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yeah. How's it going?
I'm hanging in there. It is pouring a lot here in Acre. I don't know if you're in the same weather where you are, but I don't know, Tom, what do you think? 7 inches?
Yep. Housatonic mass is experiencing Ida-like behavior up here from the skies. Yes, that is the case over here as well.
And then, Pamela, are you there on the phone? Can we hear you?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can.
Awesome. Absolutely. Kieran, can you hear Pamela?
Pamela is super, super quiet, but I think we could make it work somehow if you want to rock on. Can Pamela hear me?
I can.
Awesome. There you are. Okay, that sounds perfect right now. Great. That's great. So we're making this all work. We got three remote locations all converging at one in the Monday afternoon show here. That's what community radio is all about. So I think we should give this a shot, folks, and let's see how it goes. So, Devin, you want to kick it off and introduce Pammy and tell us what's going on?
Yeah. We have with us today Pamela Price. She's one of our educators at Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. She's awesome. She works with the Master Forest Owners, and she helps run that program. Pammy, correct me if I'm wrong in a second, but she came to us from the Columbia Land Conservancy.
So, nope.
No. Soil and Water?
Columbia County Soil and Water.
Soil and Water, sorry. Two completely different organizations. I'm sorry to both organizations. And she's going to be having a BioBlitz on the CSLA model forest on the 23rd that she wants to talk about. And Yeah. Let me just hand it off to her and you, Kieran.
All right. And I don't know if you have to hit that mute button, Devin, but I did hear her a second ago, but she's quiet again now. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
There you are. Okay, Pamela, rock on with it.
Hi. So the BioBlitz is going to be on Saturday, October 23rd from 10 to 1 p.m., and that's going to be our kickoff for a year-long event doing a BioBlitz in the Siuslu Model Forest. A BioBlitz is a communal citizen science project at a designated place for a designated time period, and we want to really get the public engaged, and so we're going to have a year-long event to get people connected with the environment and to generate data about the forest. So there's a lot of other research happening in the forest, and we want to add to that by gathering as much information as we can about the different species that live in the forest. And our citizen science volunteers will be able to either focus on collecting as many species as they can every time they visit, or they can pick one of their special interests and just focus on that. If they love birds, they can just record all the birds they see. Or if they really like salamanders, they can look for salamanders. If they're interested in a certain kind of plants, or if they're interested in mushrooms, they can focus on that. And we're hoping to make it a really fun experience for everyone. At the Saturday, October 23rd kickoff, we're going to have a little talk about iNaturalist, how to use it to enter your data, give people a bunch of ideas of different apps they can use on their phone to identify the stuff they see. And then we're going to go out into the forest and see what we can find on that day all together as a community. So it should be a really fun event.
That sounds incredible. So you guys, it sounds like some hanging out in the woods.
Yes, sir. We're going to be hanging out in the woods, in the fields around the woods, and I'm hoping to have a really nice time together trying to figure out who's around in the fall, and then encouraging people to come back throughout the season so that we can really get a good idea of who stays, who visits, and, you know, what kind of things are going on throughout the year.
Incredible. So once again, it's a BioBlitz, October 23rd, 10 to 1 p.m. But before we move on, Pam, if you could just say it's a year-long kind of event, and you mentioned Community Citizen Science Project. It sounds like you're nurturing like collective wisdom and participation and research and science, which just all sounds so good. Could you just comment on like the other stuff throughout the year that's related to this that you guys are going to be doing?
Sure. So we're hoping to do another event where all of the community members that want to participate can get together again, probably in the spring and then in the early fall. And at each of those events, I'll gather the data that we've collected so far so people can see what everyone else has done and hopefully get really excited about finding out more about the forest. I did my thesis project for my master's degree on citizen science, so I'm really excited to use that information again to get something going here in the Model Forest.
So great. As Devin well knows, all this stuff excites me. It's great, great work.
Thanks. I hope you can make it.
I hope so too. BioBlitz, October 23rd, 10 to 1 p.m. So what else we got?
So, Kieran, we actually have, or Pammy was going to be doing another program called Forest Bathing Under the Beaver Moon. We have another event before that, but this one will be on November 19th. But Pammy, do you want to talk about that one as well?
Sure, I can give a little synopsis of that one. So for that event, we're actually going to travel over to my old haunt, Columbia County Soil and Water Conservation District, to take a walk in the wetlands and the forest at that location. It's going to be from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Friday, November 19th. And we're going to do a little bit of learning about the North American beaver and how they can shape the world around them. And at the same time, we're going to do a little forest bathing to help to reduce stress and support healing and wellness and get people to connect with the healing powers of nature. And luckily, it is on the night of the November full moon, which is the beaver moon. So it should be a fun event. And at the end, we should be able to take a little gaze at the full moon as we walk out from the forest.
That sounds incredible. The beaver moon, forest living under the beaver moon, folks, November 19th. The beaver moon, that probably comes from indigenous wisdom, I would imagine. They probably referred to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, the beaver moon is known as that because that's when the beavers finish up building their lodges and their dams and gathering all their food for the winter. And then when the colonists came over, that was the traditional time when they set their beaver traps in North America, so they continued that moniker of beaver moon during the fur trade times, and we just have continued it along as we took over all those names of the moons for the months.
Awesome, and I'm glad to hear that you're not going out to kill them.
No, we're just going to see what they've done at the wetland there. They shape it differently every year, and it's always fun to see what they're up to.
Incredible. Okay.
And I would just like to remind everyone that if you want to register, they're all accessible, but you do have to register beforehand, and you can go to ccecolumbiagreen.org/events, and you'll find links to all these events and to how to sign up for them. Well, thank you so much, Pammy.
Hope to see everyone out there.
I'm sure we'll get a bunch of people coming, and it'll be so great.
All right.
Thank you again, Pamela. Keep up the good work.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
Talk soon.
Bye.
All right, Kieran, we got one last class that we have to talk about. It's an agroforestry workshop. It's for thank you, Tom. It's an agroforestry workshop for riparian forest buffers. Do you know what these are, Kieran?
I do not. Did you say repairing forest buffers?
Riparian forest buffers.
Oh, right. Riparian. That has to do with water, I believe.
That is exactly right. So we've been working on this guide, a book that is going to be free for, free for everybody. And we're also running this workshop now. And I think we're going to be running another one come spring. And we're teaching, landowners or anyone who works with land-touching streams and how to create, strong riparian buffers, which is that area between, either like a field and the stream that, has like plant life in it and how to, keep that strong. Intentionally combines water quality protection and conservation, and you can bring in things like sustainable food and forest production into this. So it touches upon like so many agroforestry areas, and I think we're really excited to be able to present this to the public.
Absolutely. Can you repeat when and where?
So this will be at the Agroforestry Resource Center in Accra. That's 6055 Route 23. And the date is going to be Wednesday, October 27th, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Awesome. Agroforestry Resource Center in Accra, still rocking it out with the good stuff. I remember when we first started the radio station, Liz LoJudas came on my show. I did a farm show, and she was involved with the agroforestry, and I think she's still around doing things.
Ooh, that's super cool.
And, I saw her name on the list with the programmers here on WGXC. So that's riparian forest buffers. I don't think we can really do enough to appreciate the importance of water flowing through our forests, fields, and being conscious and aware, researching and all that good stuff. So that sounds like a really important work.
Oh yeah. And also just like, you know, it's helps against like, you know, changing climate change and everything. There's a great example in Preston Hollow along one of the parks there where, you know, the entire field got, or park got flooded, and they got a grant to rebuild this area and, you know, sort of like establish that bank and create a solid area where, you know, water won't suddenly flood up anymore and, like, you know, damage that everything along the stream.
Well, that's fantastic. So we got those three events there. We got the Bio Blitz October 23rd. We got riparian forest buffers October 27th. And we got forest living under the beaver moon on November 19th. And that's just a bit of what you folks do over there. What else is exciting in your world these days, Devin, over there?
Oh, well, that's it for events for the next month or so. And the only other thing I can talk about is just shout out to, what's his name? Eric Rasmussen. On September 22nd, we host an Environmental Awareness Days. Usually it's for 2 days. Today, one day got rained out, but it's a day where we bring in students from all around Greene County and we teach them things about invasive insects, fishing, about almost anything you can, you know, they can find within the CS Law Model Forest. And, Eric Rasmussen, he started this in 1970. What year was that? I think the earliest pamphlet I saw was, I think, was 74. And he's been doing, and it started as like a conservation field day, and he approached CCE about, you know, trying to get children involved with environmental awareness back in the 70s, and it's been going strong since then. So thank you so Eric Rasmussen, for setting up this program. Also, he also donated the CS Low Model Forest to CCE to create an educational forest for, you know, the entire community to use.
And folks, if you're listening, you want to know more, again, like Devin said, the website ccecolumbiagreen.org, tons of information on there. And CCE is Cornell Cooperative Extension, right?
Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties.
Columbia and Greene Counties. And just as an aside, I just wanted to ask, do you feel, have you seen sort of an increase in interest and folks participating these days at all? I feel like people are getting pretty excited about this work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, a lot of the agroforestry workshops, especially when it comes to mushrooms is one of the big ones, or ginseng. Those two things always sell out when people are, you know, asking if they can be on waiting lists. Right now, all of our classes are capped at, like, you know, 15 because of, you know, COVID precautions. We want to space everything out in, like, you know, in the conference room that we do have. But, yeah, we're getting a lot of calls, a lot of questions, a lot of people asking about trees, a lot of interest in the environment. I know the master gardeners are also, you know, getting questions every day about, like, hey, what is going on with this? Why is this changing? So, yeah, always staying busy.
Yep, the powdery mildew. Just had a bout with the powdery mildew in the backyard, but we narrowly escaped that one. You guys are an excellent resource. And the other thing I just wanted to comment, it just seems like that the research and science is actually kind of continues to sort of evolve and continually find out new things and new exciting facts and whatnot, which is kind of what science is supposed to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, things are always challenged and then changed a little by little. And it's just like, you know, it's just so cool how science is able to take this practice of like, okay, how can I build upon, you know, and use evidence to either prove or disprove, you know, a past theory.
Yeah, it's a method of inquiry and not a body of dogma. So that's the beauty of it all. So I support it wholeheartedly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Devin? With staying dry? Anything else you want to share?
Barely staying dry, but I think that's it for CCE. Yeah, that's all we got. And until next time, Kieran?
Until next time, Devin. We're going to rock into a band I just found out yesterday. It's called Timbuk 3.
Mm.
Have you heard of them?
Never. I'm excited Neither to listen to it, though.
They are awesome. So the guitarist is named Barbara McDonald. She was born on this day. Happy birthday, Barbara McDonald, born in 1958. And I believe the singer, main singer, is Pat McDonald. I don't know if they're a couple or not, or brother, sister. I don't know, but they're awesome. I'm going to listen to more of them. So I'm going to rock out right now, Devin, if you don't mind, with Timbuk 3.
Sounds good to me.
And we will talk again soon. We'll see you, I hope, next month.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Okay. Awesome. Right. Take care.
Have a good one, Kieran.
All right, Devin. Here's Timbuk 3.
In the future. utility bill. Praying for rain, punching clocks, changing the world like I changed my socks. Bow down to the standard white Jesus on the cross. Bow down. Children write to the standard white Santa Claus.
That is Timbuk 3 with Standard White Jesus in honor of Barbara McDonald's birthday. You heard her there on vocals with Pat McDonald here on the Monday afternoon show. And a big thanks again to Devin Connolly and Pamela Price, Cornell Cooperative Extension, educating the peoples on the good things, agroforestry, and more. So thank you again. And you can go to their site, ccecolumbiagreen.org. This is Kieran here on the Monday Afternoon Show. The phone number is 413-274-5096. That's 413-274-5096. We have another birthday here that I would like to honor, and that would be the birthday of Bernice Reagan. Bernice Reagan was an amazing musician and singer, founder of the group Sweet Honey in the Rock, and she was born in 1942 on this day. So I think without further ado, we have to play a little song from Bernice Reagan. This is Freedom in the Air.
Hold my head, I see freedom in the I see freedom in thee.
That is, once again, Freedom in the Air with Bernice Reagan on her birthday. Off the album, Give Your Hands to Struggle. Beautiful, beautiful music there. We have calling in on the phone line right now, Garrett Roach. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and razor sharp, crystal clear, Kieran. Thank you so much, buddy. Always thank you to my gateway to WGXC, as I call you. I am here in the home of Rob Geller, dog sitting for his beautiful German Shepherd Beagle mix named Holly, frying up some dinner for myself and for her. Going to share a little of my delicious steak here I have going with her. As Rob is Rob Around the County, the segment on WGXC on Columbia County History, he is visiting Rhode Island, Newport, Rhode Island, with some friends. Most notably, he's visiting the oldest Jewish temple in the United States. And he's having a blast there. They went down by the harbor and such. He sent some photos of the boat. And I'd also like to give a happy birthday shout-out to Rob Geller, whose birthday is October 12th.
Amazing. Coming right up, Rob Geller's birthday on October 12th. So a preemptive happy birthday to Rob G from Rob Around the County. And I'm glad you and the German Shepherd Beagle Holly are hanging. What are you guys doing right now?
Oh, well, she's getting ready to share dinner with me. A nice steak I'm cooking out, and we were just outside for a bit. And always playing. Her energy is unsurpassed, and just amazing, just to put it out there, how much more positivity often a dog or an animal, any animal can have, as opposed to many humans out there.
Yes, good point. Good point right there.
Much
okay.
More love and loyalty. But, of course, there's good skates out there like Rob Geller, and there's more and more great people I see joining hands. Also, another one we have of one of the finest, Michelle O'Brien, turning 27 on October 15th. Lovely, beautiful wife of Robert O'Brien in Tralee County, Kerry, Ireland. And, of course, they just gave birth recently, I told you, to their fourth child on September 22nd. Another belated happy birthday to baby Dolly Mae O'Brien.
Well, God bless the O'Briens over there in Tralee. Happy preemptive birthday to Michelle.
Many, many thanks, Kieran. And just before I go, since I know you have a packed full schedule, I'd also like to thank all of my customers and coworkers and manager at Walgreens, because our particular Walgreens here in Hudson, it barely even feels like working for a corporation, because the individuals there are all like family to me, my coworkers, and the majority of my customers alike. And I received quite a significant raise about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the manager even welled up a little bit, and he said to me, customers continuously ask for you, Garrett. He said, I just wanted take the time to say thank you. He said, not enough people in this world today take the time to say thank you. And this is a store manager, and he started to tear up a little bit, as I say. So,
woohoo! Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. I just wanted to add that, too, off the top of my mind. And it's just an example for everyone else to please see what can happen, even in this world that we live in now. And
good
it's all
you.
About the great souls coming together. It's also all about, I'd like to mention, Hudson is on the books as a welcoming and inclusive city. It's going to be put to the test. Just how much of a welcoming, inclusive city are you? And I'm sure it's going to pass, because what I see going on here, Kieran, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. And it's going to be set as an example and a precedent to what a community anywhere in the United States and in the world can be.
I love it. Love it.
And our lady, our divine feminine, is going to be leading the way. Those fences are not down in the park for nothing.
That's right. This is exciting, exciting. We're talking about the Venus. Yep. Okay.
And anyway, I know you're chock-a-block full there, so I'll leave it at that for now, but There's a lot more where that came from. Let's just leave it at that, sir.
Okay, thank you so much, Garrett Roach, for those updates, and happy birthdays, and good luck with Holly the dog. Enjoy your steak, and congratulations on the raise.
Thanks a gazillion.
Okay, all right, Kieran, we'll talk soon, my friend.
Keep smiling, my friend. Peace, love, and positivity.
All right. To you as well. All right. We're going to send out a song right now to Garrett, but also to Rob Gellis, who is visiting, I think Garrett said, the oldest Jewish temple, in the United States. Did I get that right? So here's Nina Paley with You Gotta Believe, Goddesses versus Moses. Let's go.
Yeah. sabrosas piñas. La palma en el verde llano al son del tiempo se mece, son que alegra y fortalece el orgullo del cubano.
Vengo a ir a escuchar los cantares de mi Cuba.
Junto al rumoroso río se empina la caña brava. Al lado del amor mío, con sus sombras extasiadas.
Is Chico Alvarez with Val Carretero. Great song right there from the album Congo to Cuba. Mixing it up here once again on the Monday afternoon show. Before that, you heard Imagine, of course, by John Lennon. And Nina Paley with You Gotta Believe. And thanks again to Rob Gellis for inspiring that song and to Garrett Roach for calling in here on the Monday afternoon show, once again with the awesome updates, birthdays, and congratulations on the raise and all that. I think we have Tom Rowe on deck right about now for news in the studio from Acre. Tom, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing over there in Western Massachusetts? It's still pouring? It's still pouring here.
It calmed down a little bit, but we have some running water all around us, some saturation. And